Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report for the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. How you doing? Trisha McCrone, sitting to my left.
Guess what? I wanna rock! I just can't
say. I wanna know what love is!
Yes, or, wait, what's another good one? More than words.
I'm gonna harden my heart by Quarter Trash.
We're running with the shadows of the night.
So baby, take my hand, you'll be all right. We have guests who can actually sing coming in. They're the performers. I'm speaking of myself.
Okay. Just kidding.
Jesus.
I'm gonna have another wine cooler. I'm just gonna sit here.
Another Bartles and James for the co-host.
There we go, with my leg warmers.
Three of the stars from the new musical Rock of Ages. It's rocking it out at the Venetian. We have Kerry St. Louis, Justin Mortoletti, and Kyle Lauder, who are gonna be joining us right after Josh Bell. So stick around, I know we will.
This is Jeff Lebo,
Devin May,
and Rob Marnell.
We're the Jersey Boys.
And you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah! Reggie, don't I get a kiss? Reg? Now, I apologize for hurting you. Please be kind to me. We were different people then. Been rehearsing that all the past week.
That's Maggie Smith as a legendary retired opera singer in Quartet, the directorial debut from actor Dustin Hoffman. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. None of this week's major new releases, including the action spectacle Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, the comedy anthology Movie 43, and the thriller Parker, we're screened in advance for critics, but there are a couple of smaller releases opening this week in Las Vegas, including Quartet, which is playing at the Century Suncoast. Quartet features Smith's retired opera legend reuniting with three former collaborators at a home for retired musicians. Despite the supposedly looming threat of the home's closing, Quartet has essentially no dramatic stakes. It's so low-key that it's soporific, and although the performances are spirited, the characters are pretty thinly drawn. I give Quartet 2.5 stars out of 5. Another smaller release opening this week over at the Regal Village Square is Any Day Now, which sounds like the dreariest sort of good-for-you indie drama. It's a period piece set in the late 1970s about a gay couple, played by Alan Cumming and Garrett Dillahunt, fighting for custody of a child with Down syndrome. The movie lives down to expectations far too often, with a lot of courtroom grandstanding and contrived sentiment. The period setting lends the story higher dramatic stakes, given the more overt prejudice of the time, but it also allows director and co-writer Travis Fine to portray events in broader, more black and white terms. I give Any Day Now 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now are three of the stars of the musical Rock of Ages, which opened in December at the Venetian. The story is about Drew, who's a boy from South Detroit, and Sherry, who's a small-town girl from Chico, California. And they are both in L.A. to chase their dreams of making it big and falling in love. And in that chase, one becomes a stripper, another joins a boy band, and yet a third becomes romantically involved with a llama. Welcome to Cats with the Dish. Kerry St. Louis, who plays the female lead of Sherry in the show. Justin Mortoletti, who plays the elusive love interest, Drew. Thank you, Katsalamidis.
Thank you.
And Kyle Lauder, who plays the rock star Stacey Jacks. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
We can honestly say we love what you do. Sometimes we say we love what you do to people we haven't seen what they do yet.
But in this case, we've seen what you do. We love it.
The show's terrific. The show's terrific. We saw it together the other night, this week.
Front row, right. Yeah. Look what I have to prepare.
Oh my God, you've got the Grammy.
This actually landed in my lap. while and during a point in the show, not to ruin
the biggest surprise
any adult
of all.
Scene. There are female undergarments involved, and I wound up with them and Dish took them.
He was
from
throwing them to me. I'm going to give Kyle a little bit of
it. It took a curveball and hit you.
It was like a screwball.
Exactly.
Came out. Yeah.
They say love on them.
Stacey Jacks loves.
Yeah, that's a nightly
and
thing.
And only me.
The fanny flip.
What?
Oh, okay, sorry, Sherry.
Oh no.
Yes.
I gotta go.
Go hit the pole.
I have a lot of fun facts about that.
She's got to go after that 15-minute warm up.
Okay,
we
what
had
are
earlier.
Some fun facts about the panties, well, Kyle?
Because obviously it's a bit in the show that we do every single night. It's been done. Obviously, the show running in New York for 4 years on Broadway, and then Australia in London. The point is. A lot of shows going on, a lot of panties that have to be had. So they showed me the massive boxes that were shipped in from God knows where, filled to the brim with just panties.
Where
only
they get
mine,
them?
All different varieties.
Know. Only like, mine says love,
wholesale
though, right?
Panty
yes,
outlet.
That's true. And they come in all sorts of shapes
and
sizes.
Hanging around Tom Jones concerts.
Oh, you got the right size for me. Extra
yes,
small.
Exactly.
Didn't they make you put them all on?
Yes, oh Kyle
God.
Wears
I have
them.
To try them on.
He wears them before he throws
it's
them out.
It's amazing as well.
I've actually learned the, with the different types of panties, whether it's the lace or spandex or whatever, the elasticity of them, how far they do fly.
Oh.
Sometimes
oh,
it
God,
hits the
I was
fifth
like, where
row.
Is this going?
Yeah, so.
Reason enough, ladies, to buy the front row.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, go home with some panties.
Now,
break even.
I have to say, I met Kyle and his beautiful wife, Arian Zucker, a few years back, and you are like the picture perfect soap couple. Like, I swear to God, they're like, they're
daytime
these
drama.
Beautiful blonde, like,
mm-hmm.
God
you.
And goddess together.
Thank
they're
you.
The most, they're, you know, they're the most beautiful couple. So now you went from being a huge soap star on Days of Our Lives, mm-hmm. and then was it Young and the Restless or Bold and the Beautiful?
Which is
Bold
the sister
beautiful.
Show of
Yeah,
Moana,
Bold and
yeah.
the Beautiful. And so then all of a sudden now I know because growing up, the one addiction I had was Days of Our Lives. So I remember way back when you singing on the show.
Yes.
And I was always like, wow, what a great voice he has. And then we talked about it when
we
first
there,
met.
Yeah.
Yes, we were talking about it. And so this is kind of a strange thing because you are known as this gorgeous, so punk, all-American guy. And as I sit here right now, you are wearing black nail polish, which is something that I would never expect Kyle
and covered
to have.
In fake tattoos. Yeah,
like,
it's like,
literally.
They're real, Kyle, they're real.
Seeing you on the stage, I mean, it's like you have the
kind of
wig
shocked.
And the makeup and everything. It's so anti what you've been known for.
Yeah, and the personality, too,
yeah.
of the character is completely different.
So how do you feel about that, like being known for one thing and now completely switching gears?
I love it because it's finally... Dare I say, I'm finally acting, I guess. You know, or playing a character, or diving into something that
Wait,
is not...
You mean...
I know.
Brady Black isn't you.
No.
I'm kidding.
It's all an illusion. No, it's...
But you're still
it's
taking your shirt off.
All the time.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, ladies, that's another reason to get the front
Something's
row. Sorry
changed.
That
can't
he's
escape
here.
It.
Kyle shirtless, yes. Okay, go on.
No, it's... Yes, again, I can't escape. No, it's been great because, I mean, obviously there are aspects of Brady Black on Days and then Rick on The Bold and the Beautiful that... were different from me, but more, I mean, I look like me, personalities were very similar, again, from other little things thrown in there, but Stacey Jacks is the first character that I've ever played that is a total stretch. I mean, in every sense of his personality, everything that he's about. Is
Against
something
everything
that,
you are. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So this has been by far and away, in addition to being more fun because it's live theater in the context of what the show is, I mean, that's what makes it uber fun. But doing this role and studying this role has been the best experience so far because he's so different in everything you said. It's a total departure from anything I've ever done.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you are hysterical. I mean, literally, when you came out with the hat and everything, I'm like, is Kyle on tonight?
Many people
like,
say that. I don't understand.
And then the hat and that comes off, I'm like, oh my God. And I was front row so I could see you. So,
and a lot
I mean,
of people also who don't know me or don't from, the past shows that I've done, when I go out into the lobby after the show, they're a little shocked that, they're kind of expecting a bigger person. I'm a very kind of shy person by nature. So I guess when I come out after the show, sometimes I just sneak out and disappear. And they're expecting a little bit of a larger personality. And they've said that. I've gone out. They're just like, wow, you're so quiet. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I don't, So again, Stacey is across the board.
You didn't come out with the llama afterwards.
No.
I want to get the Carrie and Justin involved here. What What do you think of, or did you ever think that you'd be performing musical theater or a musical in a casino? What is it like, Carrie first?
Oh, I did not think so, actually. I studied classical voice in college, so I actually was an opera. I was planning on going into opera, and now I sing 80s rock in the middle of a casino in Vegas, you know, 5 months out of college. I'm like, when did this happen
exactly
for me?
Exactly what those vocal teachers, I'm sure.
Exactly, I know. I was talking to my mom.
In a leather miniskirt.
Oh, yeah. Stripping in Vegas, yes. I was telling my mom, because we performed with Foreigner last night, the band.
Yeah,
I read that.
It was so much fun.
Oh,
we got to sing.
Thrill.
In what context?
Awesome.
They did a big private event.
It's a corporate event.
And they had us come and sing, and I went and sang I Want to Know What Love Is, which is actually in Rock of Ages, with the lead, Kelly Hansen, in Foreigner. It was one of those, like, I can't believe this is happening to me moments. And
that was crazy.
It was so
that
crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So it's just been a real treat, especially with this show. It's so perfect for Vegas. And so we've just had the most awesome audiences. And
Now, Carrie, you kind of, I mean, I have to say that seeing you, you kind of are a little bit Sherry-like, you know?
I'm like a lot like Sherry.
Whereas Kyle has that departure. Like, you very much have that, like, sweet. You, like, I mean, you look like you could be 16 years old. I swear to God, I'm so jealous. I want to, like, smack you across the way.
No, I know. It's been perfect.
It's a reasonable
because,
response.
Yeah. I was saying, I mean, I drove out here, you know, I sold all my stuff in L.A. and drove out to Las Vegas, and I was in my car listening to music, and I kept thinking, oh, this is so Sherry, you know?
It's very Sherry.
Moving out to Vegas, no idea what to expect.
With your albums in the bag.
Yeah, exactly. My jean jacket, you know, but it just, it's very much like that every night. You know, I come out and it's singing 80s rock, which is all new for me as well, and it's just, it's been so wonderful.
Again, I want to hit you from across the table. 80s rock is new for you? Were you even alive in the 80s?
I was born in 89.
Oh my God.
I'm an 80s baby.
And to her credit, just really quick, and more about Sherry, I love Carrie's. Carrie has such a beautiful, excited, you know, filled with gratitude personality like Sherry, where everything to her is just so like, this is so super awesome.
Oh, God.
Which she actually really says in real life.
No, she seriously is like so adorable. It's
ridiculous. That means in 6 months we're going to see her like at Sapphire.
I know, right? I know.
I'm so jaded.
Just you wait.
I know people. I can make that call. Really.
She'll be walking through the casino with her high heels in her hand, smoking a cigarette with a beer bottle. You know, it's going to be great.
I've been here way too long.
Fistful of singles.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now, Justin, you actually worked off Broadway and that type of stuff. But what I found so interesting, in doing my research on you, you studied at the London Academy Theater in London.
I did.
In London. So, I mean, you were, talk about classically trained.
Yeah, I went to Rutgers University for acting. And I did a lot of musicals and I studied music growing up. So when I went to college, I wanted to learn about acting, you know, and so we went there and we got to go to the London Academy of Theater and study Shakespeare and classical texts, which was awesome.
Perfect for this role. Yeah.
And I moved to New York. I know, perfect for this role. But that's the thing is that this role is taking me back into this whole part of me that I'd forgotten. Because I went to New York and then I moved to LA and I was doing a lot of acting and I'm a singer-songwriter, so I released an EP also on my own and was doing music that way and started touring with different bands.
And it's called The Rise and the Fallen Rise. The Fallen Rise. And can you get it on iTunes?
It is. It's available on
iTunes. Amazing.
And
go get it.
Please go check it out.
Thanks, guys.
I want to ask an open question here. I've written in writing about the show. I saw it in New York also at Helen Hayes Theater. And what I was struck by that audience was it seemed like it was the type of audience that had a lot of repeat business. A lot of audience members go back and back. Rocky Horror type feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them were of my generation. They were, you know, people who lived through the 80s, unlike you guys, who are kind of faking it.
I was there.
But I was there.
Anyway, but the point is...
Carrie!
I just go silent.
This show is sort of like when a Jesus Christ Superstar or a Hair, especially, that speaks to a particular period of
very
time.
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much like that. Do you feel any extra emphasis or pressure to have to appeal to people who have actually, you know, kind of experienced it to make these references and to make your performances spot on? I feel like there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the references in the show, you know, either verbally or through the use of props are really, really intricately
very much so.
Rehearsed.
There's, yeah. I think, well, some of the best comments that praise that we've gotten, or I think that mean the most, I'll just speak for myself, that mean the most to me, to your point, are people that actually were there. You know, people that I talked to, a group the other night, and actually you were with me with a group that said the same thing just recently, where it was more about them saying, thank you for taking me back. You know, mm-hmm. I was there. I was literally partying on the Sunset Strip between 84 and 87.
Wow.
You know,
this was my life. Foreigner like last night told us.
Yeah,
they said,
they're
that
like,
was our
we
life.
Were there, yeah. and mm-hmm. thank you for capturing, you know, thanks for taking me back and capturing my memories and my childhood and kind of putting them up on stage for me to kind of relive that time mm-hmm. again. I think those, again, I'll speak for myself. For me, those are the best compliments that we could get. Because, yes, the show is very tongue-in-cheek. It's very very parody-like, very over-the-top. But mm-hmm. at the same time,
that's what the 80s were.
That's what exactly. the 80s were.
I know. I see
and
no problem.
It's a brilliant script because there's so many intricate details that mm-hmm. I feel like when my friends and family come and see it, I'm like, I can't wait for you to see it a second time and a third time because yeah. there's yes. so many things
there are
that you just
layers
miss.
Of, that's the truth.
Yeah, there's so many yeah. layers. And mm-hmm. just even down to, you know, when we're sitting, you know, on our date and he pulls out wine coolers, you know,
that's
every
my favorite scene.
That is one of yeah. our favorites.
When you pull out the Bartles and James, I don't know about y'all, but I had that scene in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was like an Opal. You know, I think that's the car.
yeah.
I don't know if it has a specific brand but, make, but it's like that. And it's the stereo going on with. And
yeah.
Right.
So a lot of our cars had detachable speakers you'd put on top of the
oh
car.
Oh, my goodness.
And metal tape.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing with.
And that resonates.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's
exactly.
not easy to achieve when you're,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, during that scene, I looked over Katz and I said, the first time I ever got sick on alcohol was on
wine
Bartle and James wine cooler.
Or Boone's Farm wine.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. It more than just the props and the sets and all of these things that are reminding people of that era. For me, it's so much about the music, and with people yeah. coming, it is a musical.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, it was important to capture these songs for these people, you
yes.
know, and
yes.
to really do them justice in a real rock and roll way. And when you see these people's faces, that you're seeing them, you know, they grew up in this era. They're dressed mm-hmm. up, or they're in the front row, fist pumping
or their
with us.
Lighters
you know?
Yeah. are up in the air. I mean,
and you yeah. see their eyes lit up, and they're singing along, and they're feeling the, these mm-hmm. songs. It's just taking them back.
Yeah.
It's
you can't
it's
help
great,
but to
yeah.
sing along,
right?
I mean, you really can't.
Right.
Like I was like, okay, yeah. the inside voice, inside voice.
Exactly, and that's why, like you were just saying, that's why people come back is because you know we call it a rock show disguised as a musical, and that's
mm-hmm.
people will go see. A band like Bon Jovi 10, 11, 12, 100 times, you know?
Yep.
This is the same kind of a show. They don't care that they know what happens in the end. It's the experience that they get while they're there that keeps mm-hmm. them wanting to come
yeah.
back
yeah.
again
well,
and again.
And again, it's that you guys have been to cast. That familiarity is a different kind of experience once you know, because I noticed a lot, I've seen it three times now,
yeah.
twice
mm-hmm.
in Las Vegas. And the other night, you know, people are calling out lines from the back of the theater.
Right.
Yeah.
You
oh,
see,
yeah.
You know, and
then
yeah.
people
certain
get
moments,
rowdy. People were literally rushing the stage and getting into it. It was
yep.
really
yeah.
fun.
That dude
yeah.
in the
fun.
Budweiser hat.
Whole
you were there that
awesome.
Night?
Yes, that was awesome.
Oh,
that
is he there a lot?
No.
That was the first time we saw
first
him.
First time.
Hey, he almost took
goodness.
Me out coming around.
He was
coming around left
he
end
was
there.
Something yeah, else. Something
I thought he was
going to
go
sure.
up.
He was having a blast.
But yeah, that
very happy.
That hat he was wearing is from the era.
Seriously, at the end, he just wanted to like touch all three of you. Like that was like his. He feels like he has now lived that.
Right.
It was very cool. He was so into every song.
I
it
bent
was
down
awesome.
For my bow, and there
you
was.
I know he was there.
Was
you
right at my face. I shook his hand.
I'm sure there are quite a few people like that. I mean, you're going to get more and more of them.
Yeah.
As the show gets
I actually
there.
Go out into the audience and
oh that's right for one of your
and like fall on people
mm-hmm.
and I'm you know it's part of the gag you know I'm supposed to be drunk and fall over people and like if they're drinking in their seats I like you know pretend to drink out of their whatever so going out in the audience and actually physically interacting with these people is hysterical because they really are so into it and people are grabbing all parts of my anatomy and really enjoying themselves and it's just
well those are very very tight leather pants
yes
they are very tight.
Ladies another reason why
I want to ask about the script because you guys are so effective at asides and things that seem to come to you spontaneously
mm-hmm.
but I know that they're built into the script is there mm-hmm. any real room for improvisation in this show I mean genuinely
definitely
Mark
definitely
as Lonnie
gotten.
Does this a lot
oh,
too
yes.
where he's
little.
Like you know he'll seem like he's you know responding to somebody
right.
in the audience, but it's
right.
a regular thing.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, we definitely, at the beginning, there was a lot of structure just because we got here. You know, we had a month
mm-hmm.
to put it up, and it's very intricate, as
yeah.
we've talked about before. But as it's been going on, I mean, we definitely have room to play, and every night it's different. I mean, it's live theater,
mm-hmm.
so you never know what to expect. There are people that scream things in the audience, and
yeah.
Mark will respond, and just we're finding little moments here and there where we can play with each other now on stage because we're very comfortable in
and
the
because
show.
That fourth wall is broken from the outset, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where we do, it's known that we will involve the audience in the show. We feel freedom that if somebody does yell something in the middle of our lines or something happens, that we will acknowledge what's going on as opposed to pretending it's not there. You know?
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Tonight we're going to have people screaming at us all night. We heard on the radio.
We're not encouraging this.
Well, people get rowdy. People get rowdy. Just the other night, I think it was the same guy. We kept standing up and screaming at every part of the show throughout. And Mark at one point finally turns to the audience and says, sit down. And the audience goes wild, clapping. Yeah. So that moment, I'm trying to stay in character. And I was like, forget it. So I just laugh with everyone, you know? Well, and it's
like you say, if you've already gone over that barrier and addressed the audience, you have a little bit of latitude.
Yeah.
You can't do that in Phantom, for
example. Yeah, exactly. No.
Rowell's like, hey, easy.
One of the Jersey Boys can come and like take someone out, you know? But now, Justin, because of this, would you ever maybe consider doing some backflips down the aisle because of your gym?
Did your research.
Scott Hamilton of the strip. What is going on?
No, come on. That's going to be Bart Connor or something.
Barson. It's coming handy here and there.
I was going to say, you've got some serious guns. Ladies, another reason to go and see the show. I mean, because you're in like the cutoff things. I mean, you're a gymnast. Oh, yeah. You're obviously really built. But yes, that's very interesting that you were a competitive gymnast.
I was.
Did you want to go to the Olympics?
I did. I started when I was 4, and I remember telling my parents I wanted to learn how to dance. They're like, "Oh, do gymnastics. We'll put you in gymnastics." So I was like, "All right." So I did. You know, I did
what
gymnastics.
What do you do with a 4-year-old who wants to learn how to dance? Give him a sport at least.
We'll put you in gymnastics.
Something he can make me win a gold medal in.
They had me in soccer and baseball. They were trying to figure out which sport works.
I want to dance. No, you'll do
best.
Gymnastics. How about that?
And gymnastics, I did really well in, and I did it until I was a teenager. And then it came to a point where it got so serious, we're preparing for colleges and scholarships and Olympics, and I wanted to act, and I wanted to sing and do music. So they said, you know, you can do that if that's
But the
what
discipline
you want.
Has to help as far the as the fact that you're out
so
there
much.
And all
oh,
the changes.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah. The physical versatility.
Because you need to be disciplined in this sort of thing, not just physically, but mentally. Mm-hmm. And you have to be a hard worker and you have to be focused. Mm-hmm. The entertainment industry is near impossible. It's so tough. Mm-hmm. You have to really love it. And the discipline I learned doing that from such a young age, every day at the gym, you know, after school was something valuable.
Very much so.
I'm surprised if you'd stayed with it in that way, Cirque. You know, is always looking for, you know, they're all, most of them are former, you know, high achieving gymnasts in that.
Yeah.
In that
who knows?
They're always trying to find.
You're never leaving Vegas.
Start
if we see you hanging around the Michael Jackson show at Mandalay Bay, we're gonna know.
He's going to be like, bonjour.
Rock and roll.
Where can I find
gymnast.
Some good poutine?
Well.
So we've actually had on Jerry Mitchell, a famous Broadway director, producer, choreographer, and we've talked about this many times on the show that a lot of he created Peep Show, and that a lot of shows, Broadway. I 100% believe. I grew up doing musical theater. That I believe there's nothing wrong to break out in singing and dance at any moment, and I often do.
Yes.
In my personal life.
Not during your driving test.
So for me, anytime
not during a court appearance.
You know, a show comes, I'm just like want to soak it up. You know,
right.
But they really have not done well in Vegas. And Jerry Mitchell was very smart when he said this to us. This Mamma Mia, and again with this show, and with Peep Show and Jersey Boys, they're songs everybody knows.
Right.
So it's nothing new.
Yes.
So, I mean, do you think that that's kind of, because Vegas is a really hard, you know, city to break into with musical theater.
And I think, because the difference with this show is I think when people go and see Rock of Ages on Broadway, they're ready for a Broadway musical kind of thing experience, and then they get an 80s rock concert out of it. I feel like when they come in Vegas, they're expecting an 80s rock concert, and that's what they actually genuinely get. And so I think it works because they know the music, and it's a fun, upbeat, high-energy show, whereas if it was more of a sit down. Yeah. I don't know.
This way they get surprised by a storyline that touches them in some way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Hal Prince, when Phantom closed, I interviewed him, and he said that in Las Vegas, book shows don't work.
That's why
I don't know that this is a traditional book show, but it does have
a script.
It's
not a traditional book show.
And it also is very deceptively smart, this show.
It is.
I mean,
those
references are corny and everything, but you have to know the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I go to this one little scene, and I saw it, I remember it in New York, too, where the character hangs up the payphone.
Yes, you told me to keep watching him.
He hangs up, and those who have dealt with payphones, you hang up the payphone, then you start away, and then you go back and try and
check
to see, because once in a while, The quarter comes back.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, those things malfunction.
And
your
so
touch does that.
Yeah. Carrie said they had payphones. They had payphones.
I never knew you did that.
I know.
Seriously.
You're touching upon something that I actually...
You have to know.
Yeah. We also... This is a perfect time to give a shout out to the creative team and our director, Kristen and Corey Arby Kelly, because their attention to detail that we saw very early on in the rehearsal process was ridiculous in a good way. I mean, it was Justin was actually speaking to this before. It was very emotionally and mentally exhausting, because on the surface it may seem like nitpicking, and it's not at all. It's the fact that this show is and has to be so airtight, and they've created this show that even down to the smallest detail, like going back and checking for a quarter or anything that somebody notices in this show that might get lost if you see it once, but might may see it the second or third time around, that's what they think about when they were directing and choreographing this show. So as actors learning the show in the process, we're like, oh my God, I got to remember this and that. And this is, but looking back now that the show is firmly in our being, without this stuff, the show is missing those elements of detail.
Yeah, thankful for the details.
And tonight, like Justin's going to watch that payphones number.
I will. Yeah. And when Mark pulls out the Rolodex.
The Rolodex!
Yeah.
When I saw it on Broadway, I looked at Ari and I was like, a Rolodex!
I went off
in
New York when I saw that. I was like, the guy next to me, who I didn't know, I knew the people on my right, but not on my left, I went bang and hit him with my elbow. I said, a Rolodex! Who looks through a Rolodex?
Right.
You're so right. Our director always talked to us about heart. She'd always say, like, bring this from your heart. And that that word, the heart, was so important to her, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's things like that. It's you saying, remembering the coin check and the Rolodex. Yeah. It's things that, like, pluck your heart. And you're like, oh, and then you have a flashback of a time in your life, you know?
True.
And those are the things she really focused on and
the attention
was really
the detail,
specific with.
And also your
people.
Band. Your live band is just
those guys
killed
it.
They're the real deal.
They're great.
I'm pretty sure I heard that they have not missed a single show out of 700 shows. They were on the tour before they came out to Vegas.
A huge shout out to them.
We got an idea for the band. I don't know if
what's
you're...
What's that?
You have
a lot of good ideas.
To have them booked... I might be screwing this up, and I know you guys are going to Equity. Have you signed your Equity deal yet?
No comment.
Okay.
We're in the middle of all that.
All right. Well, I only ask because they're because what the idea is to book them as Arsenal at Vinyl at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Oh, they need
the
to
little
do that.
Club
or
the joint
like that.
or the lounge at the Palms, and just have them come in. No real promotion, just social media.
Right.
Yeah. 500 people in there, have the cast come in and sing, and just have them do
well,
a burning
talking to us
one night
that.
Only.
Yeah.
And this
they
came about after the opener, after the first show.
Uh-huh.
And
make it happen.
Yeah, they asked
that
us
would
to pick
awesome.
Some songs that we'd want to sing with them. That's,
that
I guess, what
really
they were talking
cool.
about.
Yeah,
they've
that,
done a,
that was what it was born from.
Dave Gibbs, the music supervisor, who is another one with Kristen and Kelly, who's been with this show since day one. And David...
He played acoustic guitar.
Yes, he's done an incredible job about giving Arsenal a life.
Yeah.
And he's the one, they have t-shirts, and he's the one that's really given them a background and a life. He told me, because Stacey Jacks being the lead, former lead singer of Arsenal.
And my boyfriend, okay.
Yes, exactly. he gave me this whole backstory that he was dead serious about Arsenal and Stacey's involvement and why Stacey was leaving the band. And it was... so helpful, but it was shocking to me in a good way that I was like, he's created this living, breathing band in Arsenal. Uh-huh. They're not just the orchestra pit.
There are
characters in the show.
Costumes.
React.
It's like how Spinal Tap went on tour after Spinal Tap came out. I mean,
you talk all the time.
And I got to give a shout out to Dave Richardson, who's the MD.
Yes.
He plays keyboard in one of the great bands in town, Santa Fe and the Fat
City
Horns.
To say,
that's a hang.
Yes, you get, Katz is huge. Hanging out with Santa Fe, he's got to hang with. So now, everybody, please go see Rock of Ages. It is fantastic. It is the newest hit on the Vegas Strip. And if you haven't seen it already, go see it. If you have, keep going back. It's incredible.
Come
Thank
party.
You guys for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.